I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 11. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Sarah, for reading the passage. And as we get started here today, I just want to remind all of you that we are going to be taking communion at the end of the message. And so if you have not prepared yourself for that, I will give a little introduction here to the message so you can run off and do that. All you need is just piece of bread or a cracker and something to drink and the heart that is really remembering and honoring what Jesus has done for you and for me. So just wanted to give you a little heads up on that. So today, this is the third message in a six-week series called The Church in Crisis, Changing But Never Wavering. And personally, I love that title. I like to think of the church in that way. The church over years and centuries, it has changed in some ways, mostly in methods and how we go about things. But the message of the gospel and the calling of what it means to be the church and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, those things don't change. They stay the same, and they apply in every age, every generation, every culture, and so there's something, maybe it's just because of kind of my makeup, but there is something very comforting about, first of all, the unchanging nature of God, that no matter what is going on around us in life, that God does not change. God's love does not change for you and for me. God's grace, God's justice, these things do not change, and they bring great comfort to my heart personally at all times, no matter what is going on. So, and as I've really already said, clearly the church has had to adapt like the rest of the world in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. I'm sitting here right now with, five, six other people in the room, and I'm primarily looking at a camera. I didn't do that 2 months ago. I've had to change. We've had to adapt. But our heart is to still communicate the message. It's still to, even if it's through technology, to connect with you that are watching and listening here today. And so we made these changes. But the message does not change. So while we acknowledge the need to make changes, and also acknowledging that God is working amongst us through this uncertain time. In fact, I just want to share some testimonies real quickly about so last night we had a prayer service. We just did it live on Facebook. And in doing that, I don't know if you know this, but we've actually been meeting on the first Saturday of the month for prayer for, I don't know, Tony, 4 months at least, for a year?
Since
the first of the year. And we've had Tony and me, Tony and Sarah and me, Tony, correct. It's different people have come, but it's been very, very low. Last night, I don't know, we had all kinds of people showing up for the prayer meeting. So in the midst of everything, God is working. I mean, there is something happening in spite of all the weirdness and craziness of our lives that God is working. I've never had as many people come out on a Wednesday night for a Bible study as I have shown up on Wednesday nights to do a journey through the Gospel of Luke. So while I don't really want to continue in this way, I celebrate the fact that the message is actually, from where I sit, is actually going out to more people than it was before. People are coming, tuning into that from Taiwan and from other nations of the world. They can't be here physically. So I know that this is not ideal, But at the same time, God is working. God is still at work. And this is a message that I want to make clear to us today. So as we were just kind of contemplating these things and considering, you know, what's the word that God has for us in these times, and we felt it was this word. Yes, we've made changes, some outward changes, but the message does not change. So we decided when we were, again, praying and asking God, we just settled on these, what's commonly known as the one another passages in the New Testament. And we've talked about these now, but love one another, encourage one another, admonish one another. These one another's, as they're known, there's actually 59 of them in the New Testament. And as I mentioned in the past, 19 of those address the idea of loving one another. So these one another's, they're things, they don't change. Whatever culture you live in, whatever country you're from, whatever your background, whatever century we're in, these are things that Christians are called to do and to be. We are called to love one another. We're called to bear one another's burdens, as Larissa preached about last year. And today, I want to talk about encouraging one another, because we are called, again, no matter what, we are called to encourage one another. And this may sound like, oh, yeah, okay, encourage one another. It's not a big deal. Actually, you start looking at it and thinking about it, encouragement is a huge deal. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, "See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." I mean, did you catch that? The importance of encouragement. In fact, if that doesn't speak to the importance and even the urgency of encouragement, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to share with you. Because this passage, first of all, it's interesting to note that in the English translation, we capitalize the word today. And that's our way of trying to capture what was in the original language of this emphasis, this urgency, like encourage people now. Encourage people now. Do it now. Don't wait. There may not be a tomorrow. That person needs encouragement today. You know, you think about it, different people going through life, and I don't want to get on too dark of a trail here, but there are people that if they just maybe would have received that word of encouragement, would still be alive today. Encouragement is powerful. And it's to be done now. Don't put it off. If you have a sense of needing to encourage somebody, do it today. You could literally be saving someone that's struggling in their relationship with God and wrestling whether they even believe that God is real. And you deliver to them a word of encouragement, and that could be what keeps them. It says, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. There may not be a tomorrow. Do it today. You know, I was just thinking back about 12 years ago, and some of you won't even know this that have been here more recently, but the church was averaging about 110 people over the weekend here. It might have been as 12 to 14 maybe years ago. And then some things kind of happened. The first thing that happened is we lost our youth leader who was doing an incredible job with young people. And there was some, I don't want to really tell her story, but let's just say that there was some difficulty going on in the family, a lot of turmoil. And I don't really want to share her story right now, but the point is she could no longer serve as a youth leader here at the church. And it wasn't our choice. It was her choice. And that was a blow. Because it takes a special gift and a special passion and a special grace to really to minister to youth. And right away, you know, we tried to kind of get some others to do it, but we saw the numbers of young people, actually our youth, begin to diminish. Then at the same time, another one of our key leaders decided that God was calling also her to do something else, to start a new ministry. And again, it wasn't like a big negative thing here on this end, but so we blessed her and released her to go. Well, that also impacted the work of God here in our context. Finally, there was a third element where we had a Saturday night service, and I felt it was kind of had stagnated. It was just a small group of people, and so we prayed together, and I talked to the leadership, and we shut that down. And to just be honest with you, when we shut that Saturday night service down, all those people, most all of them, I think there might have been a few people, but they left the church. So now over just this brief period of time, you know, we probably dropped like 20 to 25 people. We actually just about 5 years ago went through a similar experience with people moving away. And in these, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I was deeply discouraged. In fact, I'm just going to be honest with you. I was ready to just get out. I was like, I just don't, you know, this is too much. And I think that God needs to bring somebody else in here. And, you know, and I was ready just to go be a truck driver or something. Go join Tony and Sissy out on the road and just do something different. And I went to my superintendent and I said to him, I said, I think you need to bring somebody else into the church. I said, I think my days there are done. And he looked at me and first of all, he was in shock. And he began to speak courage into my heart. He began to point out things that I was not seeing. He began to highlight some things and tell me that all churches go through these ups and these downs. And that I just needed to hang in there. I mean, I can't give you word for word, but he said, but obviously I'm still here, right? So he literally put courage. He encouraged me. And as I look back, even though there's been many battles and many other discouraging times since then, the Lord kept me. I mean, that word of encouragement was used by God to keep me in my calling. This is what God has called me to do. And so here I am. I mean, not just here at Grace, in my calling, because I was ready to not, you know, to just literally, I was going to ready to go drive truck. That's what I was going to do. And just kind of bail on it. Not from the Lord, or at least I wasn't thinking that in my own heart, but to get out. But encouragement kept me in. Encouragement can be powerful. This is the point I'm trying to make. Encouragement. And you know what? People are struggling with discouragement all the time. All the time. And we need to be sensitive to that. And maybe we don't even know somebody's discouraged, but as we're maybe praying or just have this sense of something we need to just say to somebody, say it. Do it now. Do it while it's still today. Don't put it off. You never know what that encouragement might mean to somebody. It could actually propel them into what God has for them. It might keep them from falling away. It just could just be a positive thing to help them get through another day. The word encourage means to make or put in courage. So you literally, you take someone who is discouraged or beaten down or broken, and you put courage into their heart. That's what my superintendent did with me those 12 years ago. He just put courage back into my heart. And biblically, the word has a sense of imploring or beseeching someone. You know, this is why, especially when I'm preaching, of course, I'm by nature, one of my gifts, I think, is exhortation or to encourage. And so I get, there is this sense when I'm preaching, and I know some people don't totally dig it, but I'm imploring you. There's an energy that comes to me as I'm speaking because I want to put courage into your heart. I want to encourage you in the ways of God, that you would continue to follow God with all your heart. I mean, it's like what God said to Joshua when he was going into the promised land. He said, be strong and courageous. That was God was putting courage into Joshua's heart. There was an urgency to it. You're going into the promised land. Moses is gone. It's on you, Joshua. You can do it. Get him in. Even the song we just sang, take courage, my heart. Be steadfast, my soul. In fact, there are times when we do encourage ourselves. David, and I am going to the Old Testament, but David encouraged himself in the Lord at a time when he was greatly discouraged. And that song kind of speaks to that. In those moments when we're uncertain or think we don't know where we're going or what we're supposed to be doing, God's in the waiting. Take courage, my heart. Be steadfast, my soul. We encourage ourselves in the Lord. That turned into, I can't remember if David turned that actually into a song, but I mean, he does speak to his own soul. Many, many times, David encourages himself. So in worship, I'm often encouraged. In prayer, when we gain that eternal perspective, and that's kind of where I want to go for the rest of this message. Because what I found a little surprising, so there's four passages, New Testament passages, that speak of encouraging one another. And one of them I already read from Hebrews, and that emphasis is one of urgency, do it now, encourage one another now. And the other three also have this sense of urgency, but they're in this context of the return of Jesus, the second coming of the Lord. And I think there's a reason for that, and we'll get into it as I go here. So I was a little surprised by that, but just to let the cat somewhat out of the bag, I think it's because this anticipation of Jesus coming back, this sense of impending eternity, whether Jesus comes back in our lifetime or whether just, I'll just tell you something. Every one of you in this room, whether you're young or older and listening there online, you are going to be confronted with eternity. I mean, you're just not going to get around that. And in light of eternity, that time's very soon. It's not very far away. And as we think and contemplate eternal matters, we will be encouraged, I believe. So the first passage, and you can look this one up later, but I'm just going to comment on it, is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. It's not the passage that Sarah read a few moments ago, but it talks about what happens to followers of Jesus who have died. It's often read at, memorial services and funerals. And it says, when Jesus returns, those of us who are alive will be united with those who have died. And then the passage ends by saying, so encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. So this is a passage of encouragement that even in the darkest moments of death, Jesus will return. And all of those who have died as followers of Jesus will be reunited. So we can be encouraged. Even in the darkest, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And David had that sense again, but we can be encouraged to know that in the end, we will be united with our fellow believers. And Paul says, so encourage each other with these words. Don't get down. 1 Thessalonians 5, which is what Sarah did read a few moments ago, starting with verse 4 says, but you aren't in the dark. I'm not going to read the whole thing this time, but it says, but you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So again, there is an encouraging word. We can encourage ourselves when we contemplate these things. This is a passage specifically of encouragement to live as children of light when all seems dark around us. If we do so, we will live with God forever when Jesus returns. I hope you're catching this because, I think basically what we're talking about here is that of all the people on this planet, we have hope. We have hope. No matter what is happening, and whether I live or whether I die, I have hope. I mean it sincerely. I don't mean to take lightly the situation with the COVID-19. I don't, and I'm definitely more concerned about others, especially those who don't know the Lord, and I do my best to respect that in other people. But why should I be afraid? Why should I be discouraged? I have nothing to fear. No matter what happens, even economically, whether I could, all these things, I might suffer here on this planet, but even my sufferings are only light and momentary in comparison to eternity. Amen? I mean, do you get what I'm saying here? Because eternity is a long time. Yeah, you can't, and you're going to be with God forever, it says. So encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another. And it's not, again, I'm not saying we don't genuinely enter into people's sufferings, because the scripture makes that abundantly clear as well. I'm not saying that I'm not concerned for my loved ones or for others, and especially those who don't know the Lord. But what I'm saying is that in light of eternity, all of this really is very little. It's small, and I can be encouraged by that. God's got me. God's got you. We can walk through this, and we'll be fine. So the last passage, just really quickly, that I want to share with you is it's found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, and it says, "Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." Now, what do you think that promise is? Again, it's in this context of Jesus returning. So let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, I know that was written a long time ago, but in a sense, the day of his return is always drawing near, right? It is not far away, no matter how you look at it. Again, you put everything in an eternal perspective, and the drawing near of Jesus, it is near. And again, I would just say, whether he returns in your lifetime or not, your end is drawing near. Let's just be honest about it. And so, but we can be encouraged, and we should continue to love one another and continue to do good deeds. And we should continue to meet together, even if it's through technology, to gather together and encourage one another in love, good works, and good deeds. In a sense, it's like Paul says, you know, or the writer of the Hebrews says, hang in there. The day of his return, it's drawing near. You can do this. Don't get so focused on the problem. Don't get so focused on what's going wrong. Look up, look up, look up, look up. Jesus is drawing near. Look up. Your eternity is coming. Actually, you're in eternity in a sense right now, but we will all make that transition. Be encouraged by these things. So how do we do this now? How do we encourage one another today? In the midst of the realities that we're facing with the COVID-19 crisis. Now, I think it comes in many forms, and I think there's many ways we can still encourage one another today in this context. Because the first thing I would say is that no matter what happens in this life, we can live lives of love and peace, right? We can. We have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we are reminded that in the end, no matter what, it's all going to be worth it. Now, see, I find myself still, even with this crisis that we're facing, I still feel like I'm speaking a little bit into a void. Because quite frankly, and I don't know how much trouble I'll get in for this, we are still not really suffering that much. Now, in other countries, there are people that are really suffering. People that are in the midst of war-torn, ravaged situations. Families and kids sitting on piles of rubble because their house got destroyed by a bomb. They're suffering. The millions of people that right now that are on the verge of starving to death because they can't go to work in Kenya, in India, the Philippines, and other nations around the world. Yeah, they're suffering. They're truly suffering. And how do people get through that? People have suffered before and still follow Jesus. They've lost their lives and still held on to Jesus. What was it that encouraged them? What gave them the courage to suffer as immensely as people have under persecutions, in the midst of war, in the midst of even dying and losing their lives? How do people remain faithful to God when things like that are happening in their lives? When they're put in prison for 30 years because of their faith? When they're tortured? When many who eventually died? What keeps them going? I can guarantee you, it is this sense that they are going to be with Jesus. That no matter what happens in this life, that they are going to meet their Maker. And they can suffer and endure and be strong and have courage because they know that in the end, it's going to be okay. They hold on to the promises of God. Take courage, my friends. Be steadfast. God is with us, and you will be with Him for all of eternity. Lord, help us. I don't say it lightly. I don't mean to. I'm not trying to take these times in a way that doesn't seem serious, but ultimately, these are light and momentary troubles, and we will pass through them. And we have passed through them as humanity before. I was just reading an article the other day that back in 1968, 69, and we hardly even remember this, it seems like 100,000 Americans lost their lives to the Hong Kong flu. What was called the Hong, that's what it was called then, the Hong Kong flu. 100,000 people. That's pretty tragic. Yet somehow we got, those that lived got through that, and we're hard-pressed, nobody even talks about it. We were talking earlier, most people go back to the Spanish flu. I'm just trying to say that sometimes when we're in the midst of situations and circumstances, if we focus just on that situation, if we focus and all we're talking about is, and I know my message is touching on this, but if all we're concerned about is the coronavirus and all we're talking about is the potential failed economy, and I'm not saying we stick our heads in the sand, please, there's a balance here, but I'm not saying we just stick our heads in the sand and pretend like nothing's going wrong. What I am saying is, in the midst of those things, look up. Look up, metaphorically speaking, I guess. Look to Jesus. Consider eternity. Consider that this is just a short time. And I think you'll be encouraged. I really do. So how do we take this and then encourage one another? Let me try to get back to that and conclude. You know, especially because now you're not physically together. It's hard to just cover, you know, sometimes people can be just really encouraged by a little hug. But we can't do that now. We're in this time of physical distancing. And when I was thinking of this message, I was taken back to this. We used to attend, Sarah and I used to go to a Nazarene church in Salem. And they had these little cards, and they put them in all the pews. And I think me and a couple of my buddies wrecked this whole thing, but I'll tell you why in a minute. But they had these cards. They were called encouragement cards. And they actually encouraged you. They said, fill it out, like put someone's name and address, if you know it, and we'll mail it for you. And give. It's meant to be a word of encouragement. So you're supposed to write on there, you know, hey, you know, David, you know, I think you have an awesome beard. And then you'd send him, you'd send him this word of encouragement. Now, see, that's part of the problem because me and my friends, we noticed that the encouragement cards didn't last very long because me and my friends would like write, you know, I'd write, Dear Glenn. And then I would quote this awful portion of scripture like, I just want you to know that the mothers during the famine were actually eating their children because they, you know, and I'd quote this passage. It was just awful, you know. And then the church would mail it to them, you know, and pay money to mail this. And so we were just goofing around, right? And then they stopped doing the encouragement cards. But anyway, that's a distraction. My point is, I think that church kind of got something there, and I wish we would have actually taken it more seriously. And these are things that can deeply encourage another human being. And so what I'm wanting to encourage you with today on a practical level is to take the time to pray and maybe ask God, God, is there someone that you would like me to encourage? So, and I'm not going to ask you to do this every day. I hope you do it more than once. But over the next few days, think about this. And then this is a little bit more than what I asked you before, because I'm going to encourage you to actually write them, to send them a card. Now, if you just don't have their address, I mean, you have a phone number or email, you could write to them and say, hey, can I have your address? I just wanted to send you a little something. And I just would invite you to write, you know, that to pray and ask God for a word of encouragement. It could just be things that you already know about this person and you're just thankful for them and you haven't seen them now for 4, 5, 6 weeks here at the church. It doesn't have to be a church person also. It could be your boss. It could be a family member. You know, it could be just a friend that you haven't seen for a while. And just write them a note. And if a card is just too much and mailing it and you don't want to go to the post, you know, you don't have stamps or whatever. I know we don't hardly do cards anymore or actually physically write something to somebody. That's why I think it would be so powerful, because someone who receives a card from you that you've handwritten is going to definitely know that you took some time and prayerfully wrote them that card. But if that just doesn't work, you can send them an email. You could call them, I guess. But each one of those gets easier. You know what I'm saying? In some ways. So, but I just want to encourage you to do it, and don't put it off. Again, I probably wouldn't be in ministry today if someone hadn't encouraged me 12 years ago. If someone hadn't helped me to see that it was still, that God was still using me, that I had gifts and graces, and that even though times were tough, that I should stay in the ministry. I'm grateful for that today. Someone encouraged me. Someone also, I also received encouragement very young in my, as a Christian, and that encouragement is what led me into ministry in the first place. Someone that was like a mentor to me, that encouraged me to pursue God's plan in my life, and I did so. So don't underestimate the power of an encouraging word. I mean, who knows what God will do? Don't make it so much about your own fears about saying the wrong thing, especially if you're just trying to be encouraging, and send that card or email or phone call. The last thing I'll just say is that encouragement doesn't need to be complicated. I find people get encouraged just by being listened to. So, you know, I'm really trying to grow in my sensitivity to this. It's still an area of growth for me, that when someone is talking to me, that I'm really listening, that I'm really hearing what they're saying and giving feedback to them so that they acknowledge, so that they know that I've heard them. And when I actually do that, I wish I did it all the time. I often fail in this. I'm distracted, my mind, I've got other things I'm thinking about or doing. But when I do that, I can just see the encouragement on the person's face. It's like you validated them as a person, as a human being, that we take the time to actually listen to one another. And you know, first acknowledging what we're hearing, and then probably even giving them an encouraging word. And don't underestimate the power of this. Let's encourage one another. Let's take a few moments and take just that small risk of reaching out to our brothers and our sisters, to our friends, to families, fellow church members, and encourage one another in the Lord. And I'm going to use that right now to just transition. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and we're going to get ready to take communion. You know, I think about God looking down upon humanity and seeing a broken, dysfunctional, messed up world. And God kind of, and this is just going to be my putting probably some of my thoughts into it. I'm not sure that God said this or anything, but I think God looked down and said, I wonder what I can do to encourage humanity. I wonder what I can do. They are lost. They are broken. They are stuck in their sin. And God came to us as Jesus. Came to us as Jesus, made the effort to lay down his own life, to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin, so that we could put our trust in the finished work of God through Jesus Christ and be encouraged to not be defeated, to not live in that brokenness. And God is speaking all the time. God is speaking right now through our situation and our circumstances, through this crisis. Are we listening? Are we listening to what God is saying? Are we taking time in his presence? Or are we just running around being anxious and wasting our time? God wants to encourage you. He not only wants us to encourage one another, God wants to personally encourage you today, wherever you're at. Whatever's going on in your life, no matter how, some of us that may be watching today or others that are very close to the church, literally in this last week or so have lost loved ones. And there can be deep grief as there should be. But God comes and comforts and encourages our hearts. And I'm just saying in the sense of communion, that God came as Jesus and he offered up his body. His body was offered up because he doesn't want to see us living without him, living in darkness, living in brokenness, living in our sin. So as you take whatever elements you have, bread, wafers, crackers, and as we just in a moment get ready to take them and eat them, I want you to think of the lengths that God has gone to in an effort to, in a sense, encourage your heart, to get you on the right track, to point you in the right way. So as you eat the bread today, take it very seriously. The God of the universe has gone to great lengths to encourage your heart today, to give you a glimpse into eternity so that you, in the midst of your suffering today, can have hope and know that there is a future for you in the presence of God for all of eternity. If you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, and the work that we're celebrating here in communion, you have that hope before you. So eat the bread today with a sense of renewed hope. And then Jesus also shed his own blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And when we're bound by our sin, when we're bound in our addictions, when we're lost in that way, it can be very discouraging. I was a discouraged, unhopeful person before I met Jesus. But today, as I drink from the cup, I'm reminded of all that God has done for me, that my sins have been forgiven, and not just forgiven, but that the power of God is working in me and setting me free from sin and certainly from death. And I'm going to live forever in eternity with him, and I have great hope there. So let's drink the cup again. Drink from whatever it is that you have. Grateful in our hearts for all that God has done for us. Father, may we take courage. May we take courage today that you are a living God and that you are active in our lives. And that for those of us who have put our trust and our faith in you today, that no matter what may be happening here on this earth, no matter how challenging life might be, that in you we have hope, in you we can be encouraged, in you we can move forward. So even as we sing this last song, God, that you, the resurrected King, are resurrecting me, us, may we be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen.